Hey, friends, I just wanted to talk to you for a few seconds. We're going to get into the content soon. But if you're new to the show, we just want to invite you to subscribe. We're trying to see 2025 be a year of growth and expansion. We just need people like you to subscribe to our channel and to share about the episodes that you just are totally in love with on social media. And then lastly, if you can leave us a review today, we'd greatly appreciate it. The algorithms will appreciate it. And so thank you so much for joining us on the Marriage After God podcast. And I just pray that you enjoy this content. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. In this episode, I get to interview some really good friends of mine, Chris and Jessica Spees. I used to work with Chris Spees years ago. We moved up to Oregon together as families. They now live in Tennessee and we live in Central Oregon, but they have a really cool story of how they met, how God worked in their lives, how God got a hold of their hearts through a pretty traumatic experience with a tornado. But I love Chris and Jessica Spees, and I think their story is very encouraging, and they have some really good insights into how God draws us closer together in our marriages and how we can walk with each other through difficult times. So please enjoy this conversation I have with my good friends, Chris and Jessica Spees. Hey, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we're the hosts of the Marriage After God podcast. Our desire is to help you cultivate a marriage that chases boldly after God's will for your life together.
We want to invite you to subscribe to our show wherever you watch or listen.
We are so glad you're here, and we pray that our discussion truly blesses you and your marriage.
Welcome to the Marriage After God podcast.
Everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage After God podcast. I'm here with some really good friends of mine, Chris and Jessica Spees. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey.
So, I don't know how many of my audience knows you guys. I'm sure some of the women that follow our show probably follow you, Jessica. But why don't we just start with who you guys are? How do we know each other? Because we've known each other for what? Over, gosh, probably 15 years.
Yeah.
Close to, yeah.
Probably that much.
Yeah, so why don't we just start with some of your story, background, testimony?
Depends on how far we want to go back. But, yeah, when...
As far as you want.
Yeah. Well, when Jessica and I were dating, well, we were engaged at this point. We decided to start to go into a marriage ministry at our church, and Jen and Aaron were the table leaders at our marriage group. And, you know, a couple months later we got married after starting that, and just been close friends ever since. So
that's been a while.
Yeah.
We did move to Oregon together.
Yeah. We met.
Did you guys moved first though, yeah. Right?
Well, that's the funny thing. Cause so Aaron and I worked at the same company at this point, and it was really cool that we both had connections up to Oregon, but didn't realize we were putting in notice on the same day at work for 30 days notice. And then, yeah.
Well, and we had we used to go over to your guys' house all the time to have dinner and play games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember we would talk about it, like one day we're going to get out of California. And Jennifer and I separately had thought about moving to Oregon because her brother and sister-in-law moved here with their baby. Mm-hmm. And you guys, Chris, you had lived here. And so you guys were kind of considering moving up to Oregon. And the same day at Sevenly, we put in our notice to quit because we were moving,
yep.
Which was really crazy. And then, so you guys moved a month before we did, and then we moved to after. But we've been friends ever since, even though you guys don't live in Oregon anymore. where'd you guys end up moving to? Just so everyone knows where to find you.
Yeah, so we're... we're in Tennessee, about a half hour ish, south of Nashville. So middle Tennessee. And we've been here a little over 5 years now. Yeah.
And you guys love it still?
Love
it here.
Yeah. One thing that's awesome is just a big part of our story with you guys is, not only did we know you, you know, in California, but then we knew you in Oregon, and then we still get to keep in touch with you guys. We've come and visited and stayed with you in Tennessee because we love traveling. And so in this conversation, I'd love to get into some of your guys' story because it's very encouraging, and it's amazing to see where God has brought you, and just seeing the faithfulness of God in your guys' lives. Again, because I've been able to see the various seasons of your life, just like you guys have been able to see the seasons of ours. Why don't you go back? I love some of your marriage story. Why don't you go back to, you said you were engaged and got married. Why don't you share just a little bit about that journey? And then we'll go on from there, because I love how that started.
Yeah,
we served together at the church that, you know, we met Jen and Aaron at, and we kind of knew each other for a bit, but weren't really like that close. And started hanging out in group settings with the church and different activities and stuff.
Because we came into the same ministry and started serving there together. And the first time I met him, he was straight up cold.
Christopher.
I don't remember that. So, but I'll just, I mean, she's always right. Right. So, so we were hanging out, like line dancing in group settings, doing, you know, other activities. And then kind of caught my eye one day, and I was just like, oh, I'm going to, you know, ask her if she wants to dance. And we did. And, I'd bought tickets to, like a country concert, and, I bought an extra one. I don't know why. Bought an extra ticket. So I was just like, hey, what are you doing, you know, on this date? And she's like, oh, that's my birthday. I was like, you want to go to
concert with me? Oh, that's crazy.
And so I had an extra ticket for her. And that was kind of our first, you know, maybe kind of date. And we hung out for about a month. Just we did like rock climbing together and going to Disneyland. We had Disneyland passes back then.
As you do in Southern California.
Yeah. Didn't like we hung out. We didn't even hold hands or anything. We were just like, you know, getting to know each other. And about a month in, you know, I kind of hit her up like, hey, here's kind of my past, you know, because at that time I was 29 and I was just like, here's kind of who I am, laid it out. And I was like, you know, basically asked her if she wanted to be my girlfriend. And then we were hanging out and I let her know, like, I'm dating with the intention for this, like, to eventually be marriage, right? Just letting her know it's not, you know, I'm not dating for fun or anything. I was starting to feel older. So, so she agreed, you know, agreed to that too. So we actually met up with a couple at our church that we knew and started doing like pre marriage counseling, just like, you know,
pre
setting ourselves up properly, yeah. Trying to understand, you know.
Well, we both come from families that we didn't have the best examples of what a healthy, true marriage, lasting marriage was. And we were both like, if that's where this is going, we need some help.
Yeah. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, I'd got married. I was married for about a year and kind of destroyed that, demolished it just because I wanted to be single and go have fun again. So full responsibility for that. Just, you know, that's before I really knew Jesus in a way that was transformative in the way mm-hmm. that I approached relationships and stuff. So, so we did that. We were boyfriend, girlfriend for 2 months, and then I proposed to her, and we didn't feel like waiting around. And so 2 months later, we got married. So it was a total of like 5 months. I remember my mom was like, I think a year is a good engagement period. And I was like, where do you get that from? And I, you know, my understanding is like biblically, you know, once you propose that was the commitment. So some arbitrary number after that, it's like I had already committed at that point.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why wait? You know, I felt like we had confirmation, like there was kind of a cool story behind that and the confirmation. So we just felt like it was right. And we jumped in and, you know, we've been married 13 plus years now.
Amazing. What was the confirmation?
So that was an interesting one. When I first started going to the church we went to, there was, I met a lady, Carol Duarte. I don't know if you remember, the Duarte.
I do.
Yeah. And, she was just really sweet. And that was Palm Sunday. I was helping to set up for Palm Sunday, the service that we were having. And, a year later at Palm Sunday, here we are just, you know, in that hangout that month, we were just hanging out and, you know, I was praying like, God, if this is something you want me to pursue, whatever. And we were like, the pastor led us to, you know, write down a name, for baptisms the following week. And, he said, when you're walking up to the baptismals to drop the name in, just kind of pray over that person. If you're with someone, he said, you know, just kind of go by yourself or whatever. And so we had like walked different ways, and here comes Carol walking towards me a year later after I had met her. And she gives me a hug. She's like, oh, good to see you. She's like, been praying for that girl for you. And just, I was like kind of taken aback, and I didn't respond, and just kind of smiled. And after service, I started walking in the parking lot. I was like, Carol, what, like, why'd you say that? Because I hadn't told her.
What are
I was
you
like,
saying, Carol?
Yeah, like there was no indication that I was, you know, hanging out with anyone. And she's like, she kind of giggled and said, I don't know, sometimes God tells me to say stuff. And so I obey. And that was kind of a cool little just like nudge, like, yeah, this is something I should be doing.
And one of the things for me was I kind of had just like this roller coaster view of relationships. And, mm-hmm. You know, even just my childhood, it was just very up and down and chaotic, I guess. And one of my friends had said advice that just really stuck with me before I even met Chris. I was in another crazy relationship, but she said, what you need to go and seek out is the calm, a boring, calm relationship where there's no like these big ups and downs. And I thought it was so silly for her to say that. I kind of scoffed at it. And that is all this has been with him. It was like what drew me was that he was calm and steady. And he's the guy that's like, you hear throw up from a kid in a room, we're just going to calmly and go deal with it and go back on the couch to our show. Like you're going to need, you want that steady calm.
Yeah. No chaos. Yeah.
Not the emotional ups and downs that I feel like our culture kind of idolizes really and sees us. What relationship?
Yeah, the extremes on all ends.
Yes, extremes.
Sensationalism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is exhausting.
So I always say that he's my calm and my chaos.
And Chris, you are. I, now that she says that, I'm like, I was just thinking, I was like, Chris is very calm all the time. Where I could be, Jennifer and I both, we could have like emotional swings. Mm-hmm. Not that. Yeah, actually, I'm just going to leave it at that. We can have emotional swings for sure.
I mean, I tell her because sometimes, you know, she'll be like, why don't you have any emotions towards this? Do you even care? And stuff like that. And like inside, I can still be having, you know, my emotions, but how I respond is usually, you know, pretty steady. So yeah. I don't know.
This is exactly what I needed. And God knew that. But that's, I mean, talking about advice, that's one thing that I tell all young people looking for relationships. You're not looking for these highs and these lows, you know, these up and downs, and where you're like finding these breadcrumbs and like living off of that for a relationship. Like you want someone to be steady, changing the diapers, cleaning up the throw up kind of thing.
Yeah.
I saw a meme about this. It was talking about passion, and it showed this like graph of like, you know, really fast up, and then it just like goes really fast down. And then it showed one that was like dedication. It was like just a consistent, you know, moving, you know, no extreme high, no extreme low, just a consistency. And that's a really good bit of advice just for all of us is finding that, like, how can we be consistent in our thought process? Not that we're not going to have hard days, not that we're going to have, you know, amazing days, because we're going to have things that externally, you're going to affect both those directions, but that consistency is so key, you know, of being an even keeled person, of being someone who's steady and not being thrown to, I mean, James talks about that, not being thrown to and fro, like believing the Lord and not doubting, you know, because otherwise we're just being tossed back and forth and being controlled by all the whims of life. And so that's really encouraging.
And that's what really, what Christ is for us. Like he's the steady, like you said, like we can be tossed by the waves, but he's the steady and all of that. And I just, it's beautiful. I love it. He's got a motto since the day I met him is we'll figure it out. Just so
that, and that's your story too. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
because you guys have had a journey of figuring things out. And I love that. First of all, just getting engaged 5 months in, you know, getting married like a whirlwind almost to most people. I actually admire that because I see these nowadays it's like 6 years engaged. And I'm like 3 years engaged. I'm like, what are you doing?
Just making sure she's the right one. You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, why'd you get engaged then?
Yeah, no, no, you better pull that trigger. Yeah. But let's talk about your faith walks for a second, because it sounds like prior to you guys coming together, you guys have your past history of, you know, faith. And then you get married and your faith is in one place. And then over the journey of your marriage, you know, there's been a lot of different things going on. And so I'd love to, where were you guys at in your faith walk? Like you said, Jesus is your foundation. Jesus is your what was the word you said? Jesus is your
steady, consistent,
steady. Yeah,
it's the baseline.
Was it like that when you guys first got married? Was Jesus in that place in your lives?
I'd say so.
I think we always held him front and center. I think our relationship personally had a lot of adjusting to do as far as habits and you know, just kind of like, I remember Jessica having a lot of doubts because she'd only seen, you know, her parents going through multiple, you know, divorces and stuff like that. Me coming, you know, I was divorced. And so there was some apprehension on her side as to, you know, how much she could trust in it. Right. And so our first, you know, couple fights or disagreements, she thought, okay, this is where the bottom falls out, you know, this is it. And I'm like, no, we're not, it's not what I'm saying here. We can have a disagreement without it being over, you know? And so it, you know, took some cycles of going through, you know, conflict and stuff like that to understand that I was still there. And so I know that's kind of one of the places that took some growing, and it took years. And there was always like, she would bring up like, oh, you know, there's after this date, that's when, you know, things go wrong and statistically in marriages and
7 years.
And then there's this 10-year thing, and, you know, now we just hit lucky number 13 or whatever. But as those come and go, and she's like, okay, you're still here. We're still in it together. It's just only strengthened the marriage because we've blown all the statistics away and you know, proven that we're committed, even though it's uncomfortable times and not fun, not butterflies and stuff like that, where everyone thinks once they get married, it's just going to be butterflies and everything. It's like, no, love is being consistent and being there and serving one another.
It's a choice.
Yeah. It's not, I'm not doing this so that I just feel good all the time. And I remember early on, like, you guys gifted us to go to that Love and Respect conference. No, oh, yeah. Actually, no, that was the Mark Driscoll one. But we did Love and Respect later. And but just the foundations, like it's really like dying to yourself for the sake of my bride, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when there's times I would want what I want, it's like, okay, I got to set aside what I want because I'm not here for me. Yeah. And if, you know, it reciprocates, it's not like, oh, I'm just always, you know, the one being walked on or whatever. So, yeah.
And that's, I mean, it's truly like from the start of our marriage, we were both in like really good, zealous places for the Lord. I had just like went through like a year of therapy and I was living it up being single. I loved ministry. I was in college, like full-time college, and I had no desire to be in a relationship. I was loving this life, serving the Lord, and it had to take someone just in that place as well for me to even like consider that. And like he was constantly like, he'd be texting me like, I'm in the chapel praying. What do you need to be prayed for? Like, and it was it feels fast, 5 months. Right. But like the first month was really like we're just hanging out serving the Lord together, and there's always other people around. So it didn't, it was like this, mm-hmm. it felt like a warm up for me for like what God had for us. But in all of that, it was like the most, like you wonder growing up, like, will you know when it's the one, or, you know, and mm-hmm. I just had to just a complete, it was so different than my whole life. That I knew it was right, because it was just complete peace and confidence, like, oh, this is it. And it was just, there was no doubt going into that. Like, it was just, mm-hmm. when you're that, we were both close to the Lord. And when you're close to the Lord, you know your next steps. And I don't know, we were just in a really good place, faith-wise, going into it.
Do you desire to pray more for your spouse? Do you desire to pray more with your spouse? We understand that you may not know where to start, or maybe you feel uncomfortable praying, or maybe you don't know what to pray, or maybe you simply want to add something more to your current prayer life. This is why we wrote The Marriage Gift, 365 Prayers for Our Marriage. We desire that it would be used as a daily reminder and catalyst for you and your spouse to grow a dynamic and consistent prayer life together. This book is a compilation of 365 unique and powerful prayers that cover a range of diverse topics that every marriage deals with. You can read it alone, or ideally, you read it with your spouse. Also, we hope that the topics that are brought up in these prayers would become a starting point for deeper and more intimate conversations with your spouse and a desire to seek God on these matters together. Visit themarriagegift.com today and order your copy and give your marriage the greatest gift, powerful and meaningful prayer. Visit themarriagegift.com today. Well, I love what you guys were talking about, just this idea of, Jessica, I don't think what your concerns and fears were unique to you about not knowing, like, well, how's this gonna, you know, work? I've only ever seen it fail. Yeah. And is it, you know, when's gonna be that thing that triggers the failing? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I had this, my wife and I, early on when we were married, we went and visited someone. And after like 25 years of marriage, we're getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in the car, and Jennifer's like, man, she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I don't understand how that's possible. And I was like, what hope do we have if someone could be married, you know, quote unquote, happily for 25 years and then it fail?
Yeah.
So everything could be great right now, babe. But, you know, in 20 years, are we not going to be great? In 25 years, is it going to fall apart? In 30 years, is it?
Yeah.
And I think Chris, what you were saying is the key is not, oh, as long as everything is peachy and perfect and I feel good and she feels good, that then we stay married. It's no, we stay married because that's what we promised to do.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many videos of people interviewing old married couples, and they say, like, you know, what's the key to staying married? And they're like, you stay married. you don't give up when it's hard. You don't quit. And it reminds me of what Jesus calls us to do. He says in John 14, abide in me. Mm-hmm. Abiding, and I was just teaching my kids about this, abiding is to continue to walk with. Mm-hmm. You're remaining side by side. You're still here. Yeah. To stop abiding is like, I'm not here anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Peace out. And so, and I love that encouragement for all the marriages listening is even when things are hard and good, you know, for better or for worse, the promise is that we abide.
Okay.
We remain together, and we work through it together, and we fight for each other. And that's what you guys have been doing for 13 plus years now.
It's the digging in of the heels when you want to run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And your 13 years has been pretty easy, right? Like, you haven't had any major issues and
simple. Yep. Super easy. No, there's been times when, you know, I failed at, investing in our relationship. And there was times when we had discussions where she's like, I feel like we're kind of just roommates right now. And mm-hmm. at that point he can go, yep, I guess we just grew apart or whatever. I think that's a common, easy way out is to just be like, yeah, we grew apart. And it's like, no, we just stopped being intentional. Mm-hmm. And so in those times it's like, okay, let's get a date night. Let me date my wife again. Let me pursue her. And even if I like don't have that like emotional like, yeah, feeling this and so lovey-dovey, and I just want to take her on a romantic date and stuff, but just in action, putting forward effort, all that comes back. And it's crazy because it's just like you're, it's like the, this act as if mentality, you know, act as if you're married and in love, and then watch, like, it's there still. It's just you.
Do you remember that? It's like the most memorable message that I ever heard from Chuck at our church. Do you remember what it was about this very concept? There was a,
I don't know if it's
Hebrew word.
Oh, the Asa Shema.
Yeah. See, I knew you were going to do it. Yeah. It's like the most, it's the literally the only message I ever remember. It's Asa Shema from the Old Testament. Yeah. Where God essentially, he's telling his people, he's like, by doing, you'll understand it. Like, obey me, you know, follow my commands and you will be blessed. And the whole premise of the message was like, well, we don't have to understand before we obey. Mm-hmm. And also we don't have to have what we're promised before we obey. And it's exactly what you're talking about. Like, do act as if you are in love. Do the things that you did at first. Walk in this way and you will benefit from it. You will produce the fruits of it. You will be blessed by it. Mm-hmm. And it's so true.
Yeah. That Love and Respect book, we did that like in our marriage ministry early on. I don't remember when, but we all did it together.
Yeah.
Like, marriage ministry has like stuck with us, and it's something that we love to serve in. And we've gone through with the group, with two different groups now, that book. And just what has always stuck with me, and I'm so glad that that happened at the beginning of our marriage, this little lesson of like the circle, like, mm-hmm. like, I'm only doing this if you're doing this. But if you break that circle, like, I'm doing this because I answer to God. Like, I can't, you get mm-hmm. to God, you can't point the finger and say, well, he was doing this, you know? And so how scripture tells you to be a wife, just obey that. And he's got this, like, God's got your husband. You do what you, the next right thing for what scripture says. And for me, it's like biting your tongue, not nagging. Like, that's one of the biggest things that I see in marriages that are crumbling around us, is the constant nagging.
The dripping to make me want to go sit in the corner of the roof or whatever. Yeah.
And instead of like, and there's been decisions that I don't agree with, and I'll put my input in. I'm not saying not to say anything, but to put your input in it, step back and let him lead. Mm-hmm. And that's like countercultural. Like, it's not,
it's currently anti-cultural.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, you're anti-woman for saying
right.
that.
And it's always, and just trusting in God that he's got, like, God is more powerful than me. Like, he's got mm-hmm. Chris, and he will lead him. And, you know, prayer is powerful. Like, I'll say my piece, and then there's going to be a lot of nights where I'm praying. And it's incredible to see that, though. Like, you can reflect, and there's been things like, I'll quietly be praying for, and, you know, days or weeks or months go by, and there's something answered in that through his actions. And it's just incredible to see God's hand in that, like, that he's got this. And it's like, you can be, you don't have to have that control, because anytime we try to control anything anyway, it doesn't mm-hmm. really end up well. And so to see God's powerful hand in the fact that he listens and he loves, and he's hearing these details that you're concerned about, you know?
Yeah.
There was times when I was, you know, she may not have agreed. I went down, you know, did my thing. And then later on, I came back and was like, hey, so this isn't working out. We're going to try this, what she told me to do originally. But, you know, part of that growth in me wasn't just like, oh, I better do it because my wife says so. Like, you know, God had to work me through it. So I believed it and, you know, would act that way because I understood why, not just because I'm like trying to appease my wife. So.
Well, I always say, I mean, it's hard to walk these things out. It's easy to say, like, yeah, just like let him lead, and, you know, you take a step and go pray for him. Like, those are easy things to say, right. Way harder to do. But there's something that's good to remember, is like, we, like you said, God's more powerful than you. And this goes for husbands and wives, because there's times when us as husbands desire our wives to walk a certain way, and we can't control them. It would be wrong for us to try to control them, but we could pray for them. And I just always have to remember that I make a terrible Holy Spirit, and my wife makes a terrible Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's very good at what his mission is in this world, which is to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And just being able to trust the Holy Spirit with our spouse and running to him and saying, Lord, here's my husband, here's my wife, here's my heart on this matter. And God's always faithful, and he always answers our prayers, whether we like the way he answers it or not. Right. So I think that's a very that what you're saying you do and your desire to do and try to do is a good example for not just husband or wives, but husbands as well, mm-hmm. that we do trust the Holy Spirit with our spouse, and we make a practice of going to God for them and with them. And it's something that we all need to be doing. It's so much better than what you guys were talking about, nagging. It's so much better than trying to manipulate and control and coerce, mm-hmm. which is not love. None of that is love.
And then Proverbs, it says every man's right in his own mind, right? And so yeah. when you're going in prayer for your spouse, make sure that you're checking me like, hey, Lord, if I'm wrong here, like, show me. And if you can be humble enough to be like, okay with being wrong, and maybe something needs to change there too. Like, mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yeah.
Just, in prayer, just, hey, God, I feel this way. I'm praying for her, but like, if I'm wrong, show me, kind of thing. And like the goal is for resolution and togetherness to walk through things together. Right. And mm-hmm. so it doesn't have to be a battle. It's just like mm-hmm. trying to align, figure out how to align.
I love that. And one of my favorite verses is the last one of one's Psalm 139. It talks, search my heart and know my thoughts. Like yeah. if we can make a daily practice out of that, like, not that I'm perfect, but it's real helpful to have that humility and like, hey, where am I going wrong in this moment?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Everything you guys are saying is exactly an encouragement that I need, because I need to be reminded of these things. But has there ever been a time in your guys' marriage, in your own personal life, that you guys have had a struggle in your faith? And how have you guys, how did you walk through it? What was the story behind that? And how did God, how'd you see God in that?
I think like throughout our whole marriage, it's kind of been a back and forth, really. Like, there's been times where I'm not the strongest in my faith, and he is, and he pulls me, and then like back and forth kind of thing. But I'd say like one of our seasons where we were both kind of just stagnant was when we moved to Tennessee, because we did not have community and we were in the wrong place. Like, I mean, not wrong place, but that wasn't where we were settling in Tennessee, and we knew it. And so it was like hard to know who to connect with, like what to be intentional about. And so we kind of just did the wrong thing and didn't really connect with people. Yeah. So we were both just stagnant in our faith. And
I remember that was something that I reached out to you about, was, hey, we're here. We're like, we don't know where we're landing. We're not going to be in this spot for long. We don't want to, get involved in a community here and then end up moving. At this point, we're an hour and 10 minutes away from that other spot, even though they're both Nashville, Middle Tennessee area. It was a long way. And so I was like, I didn't want to commit to that. And you encouraged, like, just, you need to dive in where you're at, right? Because bottom line is, we need to be living in like community. It's not, mm-hmm. I don't think there's such thing as being a Christian without community and, being part of church, whether it's, I know that can kind of go different ways and people, mm-hmm. You got to be in communion with other people, with mm-hmm. other believers for encouragement and fellowship and stuff like that. And so, yeah, that was, that's 2020. We moved out here in 2019. So 2020 was a
COVID
crazy year for us. Well,
and that's what, I feel like, and this isn't good advice for anybody, to wait on God to like smack your your head's together with this.
Like, but he will.
We got into, yeah, we will. It's a, I call it severe mercies. We got into a tornado 6 months into living here. And that's one of part of my big story of my ministry is it just woke me up to like, oh, wait, like this could end at any moment. And like, what are we doing for the Lord? And then, so when we realized we weren't going to die that night in the tornado, it was literally like a week later, 2 weeks later that COVID happened and everything shut down. And we just had this like, we need community
and nobody's allowed to meet up or whatever. And so that was even harder.
So it like forced us to be like, oh, we need people. And this is important. Like we need to tell people they need people, that we can't be hiding in fear right now. And so that's kind of what forced us down to the area we're at right now, because we were in search of a basement, the rental that had a basement, because we did not have one. And oh my goodness. But we went to the first church that was open. Like
there was an open church and it was nearby. Like,
we're going there.
Yeah.
It was probably a right on church if it had stayed open during COVID. Just
there was, yeah, there was some good levels. Parts about it.
Yes.
Later on theologically, we had some some things, some challenges there that eventually led us to, you know, finding a new
place to go. But I mean, exactly where we needed to be in that season and have community. And it was a lesson of just how important that was for sure, because we were both failing in our faith without that.
Could you guys, I remember the story and I remember getting the phone call afterwards and Jennifer's like, oh my gosh, there was a tornado. And I'm like, what? Not that I was surprised that there was a tornado. I was surprised that my friends were literally in one. Would you share that little story? Not little, but share that story of that night.
So for me, I'd fallen asleep. We actually were going through a period of time where like we were turning off Wi-Fi at night and everything, just kind of like getting it completely silent in the house and just, you know, that sort of thing. And this specific night, I had just gotten back from going to Memphis with Justin Owens, actually. And so we were back from him and I doing a little guy weekend down there watching a basketball game. And so we just didn't shut off and do our normal thing. But my phone, I keep it on silent at nighttime if it's important. I can wait till the morning, I guess. But she wakes me up. I'd fallen asleep first and she's just like, hey, I don't remember. Is tornado warning or watch the bad one? I said, warning. Why? What's going on? She showed me her phone and said, tornado warning. And I was like, get the kids, right? That was my initial reaction coming out of dead sleep. I say, get the kids. And not but a few seconds later, we hear the sirens going off at the middle school down the street.
Oh my God.
And so, like, hair on the back of my neck raises. I'm running. I scared the crap out of, we had a plan actually. And so she was to go get Rhett, our youngest one, who was only, you know, what, year and a half at the time.
Yeah.
And then I grabbed the older two and we ran into like, it was a single story house, but we had a bathroom that was like kind of encapsulated because you could shut off where the toilet was.
Yeah.
And then the hallway was on the other side. So we closed the doors, got in the closet and, I was talking to her mom on the phone who she lived down the street and was just like, hey, are you okay? And it was kind of like 15 more minutes. So we had a waiting period of like 15 minutes and I'm just watching news on my phone. I brought my phone into the closet and it's just like talking about starting in East Nashville or Germantown. And it, you know, went to Donelson and Hermitage and it's heading towards, you know, Mount Juliet. And I'm like, I'm knowing myself. It's a direct line to us.
And you were reading it too, and then you realized you shouldn't be reading this out loud.
Out loud. Yeah.
Said, disastrous, and then his voice trailed off. I'm like, what?
So we're talking to her mom. I've got her on speakerphone, and then we start hearing like thunder and lightning kind of rumbling and coming closer, and we're just kind of like listening and stuff. And then all of a sudden I heard this like loud, like, they say it sounds like a freight train. It's a freight train. I was like, and so I asked her mom, I was like, can you hear that? And she goes, hear what? And right then the lights flickered, the phone call dropped, and it just started getting louder and louder. We heard stuff pelting the house.
At the moment the windows broke, I know, was it the window? I'm trying to remember the time I started just seeing my heart out.
She, like, I dove over, like, you know, not that it's going to help much, but my instinct was like to just kind of huddle over the whole family. And she's like, she starts singing Hosanna. And
that's all I could, like, it was this really weird moment where it's like the worst pain of your life, like flooded my body. Cause I'm just like, you want to run so bad and you can't run anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling this with the glass breaking and the wind coming up from underneath our door that we were in the inner closet. Like, so I'm already realizing this is going through a door, through a door, through a door, like to get to us. And we're feeling the wind and kids are freaking out. My daughter's saying her last words. And so I just started like worshiping the Lord. Cause I'm like, what else can we do? There's nothing else we can do here. And, it's just a little snippet of that story where, I mean, take it for what it was, but we saw the map of the tornado afterwards. And that's what I started singing after the lights turned off, because in the and on the map, it said where the tornado hit the light box, it shifted right after that. And it didn't go down. It was going down our street and it went down
the next street over. It took like a slight right and just went south of us a little bit.
I was just like, wow. Just worshiping that tornado away from
us. But yeah, when that glass exploded, so it was like 145 mile an hour winds at this time. And so when that was all the way in the kitchen. So air came through the kitchen window, took a right hand turn, went through the living room, down the hallway, under the door into the bathroom, and then under the door into the closet. And I felt my hair like blowing up, like the amount of wind was, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. Ton of it. So yeah, and then it kind of rumbled and went away. And then I'm just like, I don't know how tornadoes work. And we're just like, can we go outside now? Like, can it turn around? Yeah. You know, how does this work? Do we just stay in here? So I finally went out and the whole, our whole neighborhood was just going like across the street, 100-foot tall trees as big around as, you know, like probably like 6-7 foot wide, just toppled over, you know.
Like 8-foot planks just sticking up like toothpicks in our yard, like
housing.
And through our windows. It was wild. And yeah, there's that song that like, this is kind of what spurred on a ministry for me after this was that Sweet Ever After song by, is it Holcomb?
Ellie Holcomb.
Yeah. And there's the whole snippet of that song. And I don't know when that song came out, but I was listening at that point that I've never heard that part before where it's like, she literally explains a tornado in that song.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Like,
I'm going to look that up after this.
Yeah, it's like waking up terrified in the middle of the night in the storm and there's glass shattered everywhere. And anyway, so that kind of just launched me into just, I need to get back to Jesus.
Yeah.
So this moment, I mean, not everyone gets a moment like this. Yeah. That's something it's traumatic in a sense of, as you said, what was it, extreme grace?
Severe mercies.
Severe mercies, that's what it was. I made up a new one. Severe mercies, where God was getting your guys' attention. Mm-hmm. Because prior to this, like you said, there was just stagnant and distance and not really fully aligned with the Lord. But that all changed after that night. Mm-hmm. Didn't it? How did that, you know, what changed in your guys' hearts in that moment, and how did it lead to your current now online ministry?
Yeah, I think it kind of went a little different for each of us. Yeah. I actually didn't come out of it in the same, you know, mindset as she did, like a wake up call. You know, with that and COVID, I actually kind of went into like some pretty bad anxiety and panic attacks and stuff at night. And that kind of lasted a little bit. And then, you know, I was able to, you know, get past that. Whereas, you know, she took off with her story. So I'll let her.
Well, I think that's where it comes in for you is that what we were just talking about is that his motto is we'll figure it out. And for the first time, probably in our marriage, you didn't have it figured out.
Couldn't figure it out.
You didn't have control over this. You didn't have like that instinct of protecting your family. Like there was, if that tornado went over our house, there was no protecting us. And He went into, like, you know, I've had a series of my whole life of dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, and depression. And he's like on the couch sweating like crazy and having these like heart issues and stuff. I'm just like, this is anxiety, hun. And he's just like, I'm dying, you know.
Like, I really thought I was sick. Like I've got cancer or something. Like something's wrong with me because I'm waking up in the middle of the night just drenched in sweat. And she's like, yeah, you're having a panic attack. I'm like, no. It's something bad. And I'm like,
I'm dying.
So, but yeah,
that feels like.
But I think that it challenged you in a way you needed to be challenged to mm-hmm. cling to the Lord.
Yeah.
And for me, it was, you know, waking up to like what my grandparents have always taught me. They were gone by then, but their voices started ringing in my mind again. Like all the things, like they were the believers in my life. These are the people that told me about Jesus. And like, it all came rushing back to me and the truths that, and that's what a legacy that they left. Like, you don't know the seeds you're planting. And, they didn't know that and how this would apply to my life much later on past when they're gone, you know, and like, their words were coming up, and I just had I know that works don't get us to heaven, and that's not what this was. It was we have such little time left, and I want to do all I can to tell people about him and that he's coming, and and what an honor and just incredible way we can be used here until we get to heaven. Cause this isn't the end for us. Like we have eternity. And I have that moment of like, we have eternity to relax, you know, like I've got work to do now. And it just woke me up. And I've just
been awesome.
Going ever since, really.
What is it you're doing now? You have a social media account, mm-hmm. and you encourage women in what?
I have been teaching eschatology to women ever since then. Now I started off slowly, like I had to figure out where we're at and what was true, because you get on YouTube and there is so much out there. But but just clinging into scripture and like I had the Bible out on our dining room table, and I just had it like all the voices off, and I would just at every moment I would come back to my Bible, and it was like this, it was a work to be like, I want to be dedicated to be reading this and having this be what's in my coming in to my mind and my heart constantly. And in those moments I was going through Daniel, and it was just blowing my mind. And so anyway, so there was a lot of me like learning things and like, okay, I'm sharing this on Instagram because this is amazing. Like, this is what God has been teaching me. And I'm such a visual person that I put it on a timeline. All the prophecy events, all the Bible events really, and just to see it all laid out. And so I can see what's happening and where we're at. And I just was sharing it on Instagram. Like, I've shared my life on Instagram before, and it just kind of took hold of some people, and they wanted a Bible timeline too. And that's kind of where it just all started for me. And I just kept going with it. And I've done retreats, and I've done Zooms, I've done podcasts, just telling everybody like kind of what you told me, wake up, he's coming soon. So
what I love about her approach with it too was, in a world full of like so much noise and so many influencers and people online, I think a lot of people just become repeaters. And she's always encouraged people like, hey, here's what I'm reading in the Bible. Here's where you can find it in the Word. And if you want to know more, like, it's in the Word. And she's always directing people to the Word, not like, hey, take my word for it. It's like, it's right. Like, you can go read it, pray to God, ask him for understanding. And I've always really loved that she's approaching it from that point, because it's not, you know, a matter of like, hey, I figured something out and I got to tell you, like, trust me,
just, you know,
Yeah, it's not like, hey, just
I have secret knowledge.
I'm gonna tell you something. You don't. You just go and repeat it. It's like, here's how you can actually, you know, understand and be sure of it, and you know, go check it out yourself. So, yeah. I think that's what probably helped too, because it's not this like, she's not trying to be a figure. She's just sharing. Yeah. You
know? Well, what I love about your approach, Jessica, is there's a lot of influencers out there that talk about things that are going on in the world, and they point out the mysteries of it. They point out the controversies of it. They point out the conspiracies of it, and they try and pinpoint them to spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people doing that, and it always leads to fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, look at this thing. Oh, the end's coming. Or look at this thing. Oh, this is how they're going to take over. This is, you know, these fear mongering. And causing anxiety and fear and confusion and doubt. But what you do is you kind of talk about similar things, like things that are going on in the world.
Right.
But you always end with, but we don't need to be afraid, because mm-hmm. this is our end.
Yeah.
This is what God has promised us. Mm-hmm. And so you point out things, and you try and connect them to eschatological things in the Bible. But at the end of it, you're always encouraging a right thinking. Mm-hmm. In that this is not the thing that we hang our hat on,
yeah.
But it's good to know it's good what's going on. But what we hang our hat on is Christ.
Yes.
And so you're always coming back to turn your heart to Jesus, mm-hmm. because he is coming. I just saw a tweet from, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget his name. Russell Brand, who has had a miraculous, conversion to Christ. And I loved watching his journey. But he just tweeted, he's like, how many of you all think Jesus is coming soon? That was all he asked. And I was like, that's awesome, because he is coming soon. And he's genuinely curious, like, where's everyone's heart on this?
Yeah.
But I've never heard a celebrity that's converted to Christianity ask that, mm-hmm. and say, okay, when's Jesus coming? You know, what's everyone's thoughts on this? Do we think his return is imminent? But you're, like I said, your heart in ministering to women about eschatology is not to bring fear and anxiety or conspiracy about the future, but it's to remind us of the truth is that we need Jesus, because he is coming back, and all of these things that we see in the world, whether they perfectly connect to this or that prophecy, it points us to the reality that it's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jesus is coming back.
And just watching out for it. Like, this could be like we knowing the next events in scripture and watching out for it. And like, that's, and I've got Maranatha is something.
I was looking at that in your shirt.
Yeah. It's, this is our new shirts.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
About to launch.
That's your shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, I like
Thanks.
It. Cool. If you have a guy's one in large, you can send it to me.
Okay. just encouraging people to, in scripture, it says encourage each other with these words in Thessalonians, when he's talking about Christ returning, like, we're supposed to encourage each other. And prophecy is arguably 1/4 to 1/3 of the Bible. And first chapter of Revelation talks about all those who study this will be, it's a blessing to you. And this was our prophecy is our blessing and is our tool to be able to learn and spread the gospel. Jesus said, when he was saying stuff about prophecy, he said, I tell you these things so that when they come, when they are fulfilled, you will believe.
Yep.
Because this is, no other religion has this completed literal prophecy fulfilled perfectly. And we get to use that to spread the gospel. So it's something that a lot of churches will shy away from. But if we dig in and know these things, know what scripture says, and not ignore these parts of the scriptures that that make us uncomfortable or might make us fearful. Like, if you lean into that, like, God gives you complete peace, and it's truly our victory.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone about prophecy the other day, about how Paul explains that prophecy is meant to encourage the believer in what we believe, mm-hmm. It's not something that we're like, oh, we need to figure out what's happening because we need to prepare. No, it's to encourage us as believers that what we believe is true. But it's to convict and convert unbelievers.
Yes.
That's what prophecy is intended for, is to draw unbelievers to belief. Mm-hmm. and to encourage believers in what they believe. What were you into eschatology before this tornado? Like,
no, she just had what her you know, kind of her grandma was putting in her head, because she was like total Baptist, just, you know, fire and brimstone kind of, you know, person. And yeah, so she looked back on that and was like, oh, I'm starting to see things that my grandma talked about. And that was one of the things that kind of triggered her to dig deeper in it. Cause she's like, I'm seeing things in the world that grandma was talking about. So what is this now?
Yeah. And COVID era was a big, big spark for like a lot of people of, wait a minute, what's happening in the world?
Yeah. I think like, I mean, I've had curiosity about eschatology, like any other, I'd have talks with my auntie about it. Like, but it wasn't anything real or studied, you know. So we have to study it.
Well, I love that not only have you, your guys' story was just steeped in the Lord directing and using, and then throughout your marriage, God, not just, he was using in your ministry during the marriage, and then even in that season where you guys were stagnant, God was still moving in and around you guys. There was people praying for you guys. You guys were being contained by God. And even, I mean, I don't want to say he sent the tornado specifically for you, but I'm sure there's lots of people's stories about that tornado, but your guys' story specifically, just him drawing you back to him and opening your eyes. And also, I love that you pointed out that Chris was kind of an opposite experience, where he's being confronted for the first time in his lack of control, his lack of ability, which then brought him to a different place with the Lord. And I've had the privilege of experiencing all of that with you guys, not from the very, very beginning, because I wasn't there when you guys met, but very close.
Yeah.
I was like there within the month of you guys getting married. I've had the privilege of being a part of that. I was.
You're like, why are you?
That's what I'm saying. I met you guys right before you got married.
You're like,
but not right when you met.
So why are you inviting us to your wedding? I'm like, come on.
But, I just love that. I also love that the response to your guys' hearts being drawn closer to God is more ministry, is more, like you said, works, but it's not, again, not for salvation's sake, but because of it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what God does to us when we follow, when we abide in him, we produce fruit. And I love that. I want to encourage all of my listeners to just look at your own marriage, look at your own life, and look at those moments that God has reached out to you, and that you know what they are, and how have you responded? And if you didn't respond the way you feel like you should have, if you don't feel like you've drawn closer to him, then draw close today and allow God to use you in mighty ways, because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He uses us where he doesn't need us. He doesn't need to use us, but he absolutely does use us.
Right.
And not because we're perfect, not because we have it figured out, but because we're willing hosts, we're willing vessels that he can pour into, and that's what I want for my life.
We had a pastor that would say, don't just sit on your blessed assurance.
That's true. Like, don't just sit on it.
Sitting around, you're like, I'm good, I'm safe. Like, you know, I've been promised eternity.
Yeah.
Don't just like.
Yeah, I always like the picture of, you know, when you're in the boat, if you're not paddling upstream, then you're just going downstream. And the moment you stop, again, not that the going upstream is the salvation. It's it's that moving and abiding with Christ. If he's moving one direction, the moment we stop, he doesn't stop moving. We stop. And we're only making distance with God. And but, you know, God's good also. And he runs back for us. And he draws us out of our muck and mire and brings us to new places with him. And so you guys are a testimony to that.
Thank you.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I love you guys. I think we've had enough time, and I loved hearing your guys' story. And I just, Jessica, what's your Instagram so people can go check you out and get some eschatological encouragement?
Just Jessica_Spees on Instagram.
Jessica_Spees. Yeah. Well, I love you guys. Thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with my audience before we sign off?
I think that's about it. It's good.
Good for now.
It's good talking to you. We miss you guys.
We could keep going for a while.
Yeah, I know.
I know. I miss you guys too. We're always trying to plan like another road trip or some way of getting out to you guys, or trying to get you guys to come here.
Yeah, we'd love that too.
So, well, I love you guys, and hope to have you guys on again sometime. Okay.
All right.